Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
This is Teachings in the Air with Jerry Oldman. Today's podcast is about each day I wake up, I can change my mind. It's about change. And when we decide to change, that's when the healing begins for us, when we go out to look for the healing. And the word heal, of course, means to become original. Before we're hurt, or for instance, if I broke my arm, I go see the doctor, and the doctor would set my arm so it would be like the way it was before it was broken. Well, the same for our mind. You know, when we get traumatized, it means we get cut or wounded by an event or a person or people. Our mind, you know, is open to being negative, being afraid, being depressed, being angry, you know. And I was thinking of this podcast, I was remembering as a child that when I was with my parents in our home, that I had no fear, no anger, no depression. That was troubling, that was consistent, because it was a safe environment. Now, wonderful, wonderful parents that were committed to us as children, that we'd always have food, that we'd be warm, that we'd have what we need. And, you know, that's where I grew up. And we worked together. Everyone worked together. You know, we had chores. We couldn't sit around while other people are working or doing chores. They'd say, get involved, get your hands in there. And that's where I was growing up. And I could remember the good feelings, the joy that I felt in that home. Never fear, like I was saying, or never toxic anger or shame or guilt. You know, it was good. It was good. And then all of a sudden I find myself in this environment where I don't know everyone. I don't know the teacher. It's in school. And I was starting to be taught, and I have little memory of that other than, you know, the trauma. It was arithmetic. And they were teaching addition. 1 + 1 = 2. And what I recall from that is that there I was, you know, doing the arithmetic. And I remember we had these pencils that were red pencils that were thick compared to what we see in pencils today. And the erasers were square, and they were like a caramel-colored erasers. And the paper was yellow. And what I remember is a teacher brought my paper to me with my answers, and there was red X's all over my page. I had not gotten one right. And when put the paper in front of me, and I was looking at it, and all of a sudden there's slaps to each side of the head, bang, 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 bang. And this voice, and I remember I started weeping, and my tears were falling on the paper in front of me. And she was saying, "You erase that and you correct it now, you fix it." And I was crying. It's the first time in my life I was struck. Well, there I was with this eraser erasing the paper, but my tears were flowing so freely that my paper got wet and the paper started to rip and I got slapped some more. And I don't remember the rest of that class. I remember going home and telling my parents I don't want to go to school anymore. So they kept me home for a couple of days, and what they talked me into going back to school. And the school became an experience of fear, and you know that I'm going to get beat up for making mistakes, and you know, it wasn't good. It wasn't a pleasant, good experience. It wasn't an adventure about learning. I could remember I'd sit in the class waiting for the teacher to come in the morning, and the room would feel like it's spinning because I would be hiding, trying to hide my desk even though I'm sitting right in plain view. My breathing was so shallow that my brain wasn't getting the right oxygen, and I started to almost faint. That's my memory of school. It wasn't pleasant, it wasn't exciting, it was scary for me. You know, and the teachers seemed to be all like that, because I had three different teachers in elementary school. You know, and I was afraid of all of them. You know, as a child, you know, I didn't think it was racism or anything. I was just afraid. I didn't think beyond that, being afraid, being, you know, scared of making mistakes. And I grew up being afraid to make mistakes. And I hear it called perfectionism, you know, and it could be a mental health thing, perfectionism, that I was afraid to make a mistake. And if I cannot do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it. And as a result, I missed out on a lot of things in life because I wouldn't do it because I thought I'd make a mistake. So that is my first mental health issue, was fear. You know, I was afraid. I was afraid of the teachers. I was afraid of making mistakes. I was, it wasn't good. You know, no child should grow up like that. No child should experience that. Fear, you know, and when I think about it, and you know, that experience and how it affected me for a good many years of my life, you know, that message of a stupid Indian, because as indigenous people there was a created identity for us as Indians. You know, we were called Indians right across Canada. There was a Department of Indian Affairs in Ottawa that had a fiduciary responsibility for all of us Indians. You know, and that Indians became a trigger word for me because of the word stupid Indian. Then I would hear crazy Indian, drunken Indians, you know. The word Indian, there was a lot of negativity attached to that word when it come to my people. And as children, we absorbed that. I internalized it. You know, and that's sad. And that happens for all children. I was told that we absorb everything like a sponge until we're 6 years of age. We don't compare and contrast. We just believe. You know, what's being told to us, or, you know, that, or what happens, that we're beat up because we make a mistake and that we're stupid, that I'm stupid. You know, so we have to be careful and sincere with our words. Elders would say that to me when I became a man. You be careful and sincere with your words and the way they were impressing it upon me. A small group of us that were going to start to work with residential school survivors. An elder brought us aside and told us, you guys be careful and sincere with your words. It's like a bullet leaving the end of a gun. I thought, what nowadays, and I think of that, I say, what a wonderful way of teaching us the importance of being careful with your words. That words can destroy, but they also can heal, they can teach. So we have to be careful and sincere, most of all being sincere. Don't lie, don't play with words, you know, be accurate, mean what you're saying, was the message. And I look back and I say, yes, that's right. We must be careful and sincere. The teachers I had, you know, in my education experience, were not careful and sincere. Maybe they were sincere in the sense of they thought that we're stupid. I don't know. But that was the beginning of a mental health issue for me. Remember that the word health means to be sound in mind, body, and spirit. Well, my mind, you know, was, well, when I think of it now, it's strong. It's a, we're born with that mind. Our brain is a storage for memories. It helps us to be aware of colors, of scent, you know, our senses, taste, feel, you know, when we touch something, you know, that's what the brain does. It helps us navigate around the world. But it also, you know, is a place of emotions or feelings. Because when I was, after I left school, my memory was about the stupid Indian, that little child that made mistakes. And I had to find a healing for that. I had to start to look for healing. So that was in elementary school. The fear there was making mistakes. Because I could go home at the end of the day, you know, and I was thinking about this podcast, and I was thinking about living in two worlds. Going into the school, I'd be afraid, and I'm dizzy because I'm not breathing properly, and then I go home, and it's just, I guess probably I'd relax, I'm in a safe place. And my child mind would forget about the school while I'm at home. It had to be. And I have little memory of it, but that's the way it must have been. Because my parents kept me going to school. I kept going to school. Even though I was afraid. My learning was, and my education journey was hampered because of that fear. And so I missed out on a lot of the first teachings around arithmetic or English or any of the topics, reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, and well, writing, you know, I got that. It's in those days we would make alphabet, you know, the A over and over, small A, capital A, writing and printing. So that I could do because it's visual and I could do that. But the computing part I was having a hard time with because I first off probably wasn't really listening because I'm afraid of making mistakes. So I didn't understand. the arithmetic, you know. And so that was me in elementary school. And at home, you know, there's good food, there's warmth, there's support, there's encouragement, teaching us how to take care of chickens and other creatures we had, you know, that, and how to work together, how to be together. You know, like, I remember one time my brother and I, my next to be in age down below me, because I had three brothers younger than me and two brothers older than me. So the one next to me, the younger one, not the youngest, but the younger one, him and I would get into, of course, as siblings do, you know, we get into disagreements. And one time we were disagreeing, I picked up a short 2x4 and I swung it at him and swung at his head, and he ducked and I missed him. And my dad was watching, and he, "Jerry, get over here." So I go over, and he's got that "I mean it" voice, and he says, "Get a chocolate stick." And it's the Saskatoon branch. And we all knew as children what the chocolate stick meant, that we're going to get disciplined or punished. And so I went to get the chokum stick, a branch, you know, like a Saskatoon branch, and brought it to him, and he started whipping my legs, and the branch is not big enough to leave bruises or cuts or anything, it just like a little stings. And he's whipping my legs, and then he started talking to me, and he said, "Don't you ever..." And I noticed, I heard his voice changed. And I looked at my dad, and he's switching my legs, and he had tears in his eyes. And he says, "Don't you ever try to hurt anyone like that again. Don't you ever." And because of the emotions in him, it bonded me to him. It like it was a magical moment. Because I know today if he was swearing at me and hollering at me in an angry way, and I would have probably, you know, been angry with my father. But because he was teaching me in a way and it was hurting him too, it bonded me to my father. And one of my aunties later on in life told me, when we disciplined our children, we never used an open hand or a fist or kicked a child. We always use a switch, because it's not personal that way. And I'd think about the teacher slapping me around the ears and the cheeks, and my head. It was personal. After on, I started to, you know, not like them, started to hate them, you know, these teachers. It's personal. But with my dad, it wasn't personal. It was a teaching, it was a lesson. So, that was, you know, at home, when I entered the world of home, and, you know, they would teach us. I was thinking about that, being careful with your words. I grew up in life of being afraid of salamanders. I call them lizards, you know, and they're, you know, like the kind you see on TV and tell us and things like that, or Geico, those little creatures. And there are people I think they're cute. And for me, you know, I was helping, you know, that we get together as community and we clean the graveyard, you know, and once every year. And we'd help around the church that was in our community, you know. And we're building a rock wall by the church. So we'd get rocks and bring them up, and the elders were making the wall. And we're building the wall, and, you know, and there was one of those creatures, a little salamander. I never knew we had them around my hometown, my community, but there it was. And I said, look, and I was excited because it was the first time I see one. And one of the elders there said, oh, be careful. That's a Ufuch snake. And I said, oh. And he says, why be careful around that? And he says, well, it's a Ufuch snake. It'll crawl up your pants and go through it to eat your insides out. And I said, oh, and I was scared of that little creature. And it, to let you know how long it lasted, I was in Europe with my wife, and we were touring in Italy, and we went to this little island, and we're looking at lace factories, glass factories, and knife maker, and different things, and just, you know, looking around. And we had to get there by boat, and, you know, like a water taxi, and then we're finished looking around, and we're going to go back to where we were staying. And we're waiting for the water taxi, and we're on this embankment, like a, you know, something to keep the water in control. And so I was sitting on there, and there was one of those little creatures. And my wife says, oh, look. And she didn't know I was scared of them. And I looked, and there it was right beside my hand, and I jumped, and she said, it's just like you were ejected. You just shot straight in the air, and they are scared. And she was laughing. And I told her, well, I was told when I was a child, that's a Ufuch snake, and what it could eat my insides out. So that stayed with me, and I was already in my 50s and my 60s. And probably today, even if I seen one of them, I'd have a fright. So that's an example of being careful and sincere with your words. They were teasing. That elder was teasing. And it didn't really cause me harm, you know, but I'm afraid of those little creatures. There's nothing compared to being called a stupid Indian or hearing the word, those are drunken Indians. You know, that left me pain and suffering. You know, the lizards, the little creatures, you know, at least would have my family and relatives and my wife laugh when I get scared of them. You know, but the other ones are harmful. I didn't have to get healing because of the little lizards or little Ufuch snakes. But I had to look for healing for my mind, because of the terms stupid Indian, lazy Indian, crazy Indian, drunken Indian, you know, I had to find teaching, healing for that. So that was, you know, in my elementary school experience. Then I went to residential school. And that's where the mental health, what we call mental health today, you know, and one of the reasons I wanted to do these podcasts was to let people know that we need help. If we're angry all the time or depressed or afraid, you know, what they call anxiety, you know, and are ashamed or feeling guilt, you know, and we don't feel joy in our life, real joy, because we're so focused on being angry or depressed or, you know, it's not 24/7. I wasn't like that 24/7, I know it, that I had laughter and I had other experiences too, but this was always there. It's like the, what they call in the closet, this, these memories of abuse. You know, there I would be, you know, everything's okay, and all of a sudden something would remind me of being a stupid Indian or a drunken Indian or being abused. And it was like a spiral into feeling bad, feeling depressed, feeling alone. You know, that's not a good way to live. So those memories were in my mind. And how do you deal with a memory like that? Is a question. And what I'm going to tell you is how I dealt with it. So people know we can deal with these things. Because I felt that I'd never ever get over those things, you know. I didn't feel like that, that I was living like that. Wasn't looking for answers, wasn't looking for a way to stop it. I didn't like it. It wasn't a good life, like I was saying. It wasn't a good way. So I, in the residential school, like I wasn't going home at the end of the day. I'm living there, 10 months a year, and that's where I believe, I lost the resilience. Because resilience means you recover after trauma, or you can recover quickly. So I'd recover going from the Indian day school to home. I would recover. And I would be myself again, being with my parents, because it's safe there. At the residential school, I'm going back to the dormitory, back to the rec room, in the residential school. And my parents aren't there. We're just all of us young people there. Probably all feeling the same in some ways. So there's no respite from, the feelings that I was experiencing at the residential school. I believe today that that's what really caused the damage for Jerry. Because when I left at 18 years of age, it was like it was a habit now to be depressed, to be angry, to be afraid of making mistakes, not having real self-confidence, no desire to go to post-secondary school. I didn't want to go to school anymore. And I went home, my dad asked me after I graduated, "Oh, son, you going to go to college now?" And I says, "No, Dad, I don't want to go to school anymore." And he says, "Well, then you go find a job." He says, "You're not going to stay here and do nothing." So I end up going to work in a logging camp, and started to become part of the labor force, being a laborer. And there, that's when I started to encounter racism. That's when I'd hear stupid Indian again, crazy Indians. And I living in fear at times. I remember in that logging camp, I was in a quit. I was in a leave because I was afraid, because it's just like this guy had a gang of people that turned against them all against me. They were cruel and they were mean-spirited men. And being only indigenous there, I felt under threat. And I was in the leave. And I remember that one time I said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave. And meanwhile, at that time, in that camp, there was this man. His name was Vern. He was 6'8". And he was a Vietnam vet. And him and I got into argument about racism. I said, "You're a racist." And today I learned, if you want to insult a European-based human being, their ancestries from Europe, just call them a racist and they get hurt feelings. That's what happened with Vern. I called him tiny because he was 6'8". And he was chasing me around in the woods there where we're working, and he couldn't catch up to me because I was running on top of the branches because the logs were laying all around us, and we were logging. And he kept trying to catch me. He couldn't catch me, and finally he stopped, and he said, "Jerry," and I looked at him. Something happened with him. He said, "You're right." I says, "Oh, okay," and we became friends. And shortly after that, he was watching, and he'd see these guys in the ringleaders. Ringleader's name was Jim.